Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you stayed with us because James Copeland is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jim is a longtime friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a scholar, distinguished scholar at the Manhattan Institute. He's the director of the Center for Legal Policy there at the Manhattan Institute's Policy Research Division, and he's our good friend, Jim Copeland. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Jim, I, as a business owner, there are a number of things that are happening right now that make me feel like I'm under siege, like I'm under attack. And one of them is, and especially as somebody who advocates for businesses, small businesses, one of them is something that's actually two separate bills in support of this policy in Congress, one in the House and one in the Senate, and that's what's erroneously named the Employee Free Choice Act, the so-called Employee Free Choice Act, also called the Card Check Bill. It's a unionization bill, and Jim, these bills are in Congress, and they're on the floors being considered right now, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, at the moment, because Arlen Specter, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania, has withdrawn his support from this bill, they don't have the votes to defeat cloture, to reach cloture, to defeat a filibuster. So at the moment, the Republicans, if they all stand together, can hold back the Senate from taking a vote on this bill. But it's a very precarious situation. And let me talk a little bit about what the bill actually does. The bill, in addition to steepening sanctions on employers for so-called unfair labor practices, which largely amounts to saying things to union members like, oh, we're going to have to close this plant or you might lose your job if you form the union, it does two major shifts that are really radical departures from traditional labor law. I mean, labor law has largely been the same for 62 years since the Taft-Hartley Act was passed. Labor law, as we know it, developed in the 1930s with the National Labor Relations Act and then the Taft-Hartley Act in 1947. And since then, it's been largely static. So it's not something we've written a lot about. I don't love our current labor law, but it is what it is, and it hasn't changed much. What this bill would do is do two radical shifts in that law. First, on the so-called card check provision, it would eliminate secret ballot elections for union formation. In other words, today, if union organizers get, say, 30% is the minimum threshold of workers to sign up and say we want a union election, then there's a secret ballot election after a specified period of time conducted by the National Labor Relations Board, and you have to have a majority of workers vote for the union with a secret ballot.
So 30% can get the vote scheduled, but you have to have 50% or over, more than 50% in order to actually create the union.
Right. And what this card check provision would do is enable the union organizers to just collect votes on cards, and if they can get a majority of the folks to sign these cards, then the union's formed without a secret ballot election.
Jim, just to make sure everybody understands, folks, when he says that there's no secret ballot, those cards are signed. You would be handed a card by a union organizer if you're an employee, or your employees would be handed a card. The person would stand there, and they would say, here's a card, we want you to vote, and you'd need to vote one way or the other. And however you voted, the person standing in front of you would know how you voted. No secret private ballot. which Jim, as we all know, is one of the hallmarks of the American experiment. This thing we've been working on for 400 years, it's one of the main elements of who we are.
It is, and it's ironic. There are letters out there from folks like Barney Frank and George Miller and these Democratic leaders to the government of Mexico saying they wanted to protect the secret ballot election of union workers in Mexico. Of course, there the fear is that without a secret ballot, there could be repercussions from the employer against the folks supporting a union. Well, here, there seems to be little concern on the part of Democrat advocates, or maybe there's little concern because they just think the unions are the right answer in every case, that union organizers and fellow workers might actually intimidate some folks into signing these cards. And the secret ballot election is always a protection against that sort of intimidation.
Jim, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Jim Copeland is our guest. He's with the Manhattan Institute. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm with you.
Well, nothing's going right.
Del Shannon bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, you don't have to tell us who you are. You don't have to give us a password. You just come right in and use our stuff. You can listen. You can read. You can ask questions. We got answers there for you. You can check out my blog. You can subscribe to my newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. You got 5 seconds. You got 15 minutes. We got something that will help you, whether you're starting a business or growing one. So I hope you'll go there, smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can also find the body of work that Jim Copeland has deposited with us over the years that he's been a member of our Brain Trust. And Jim is with us. He's director for the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. And Jim, we're talking, folks, about the so-called Employee Free Choice Act, which is also called the card check bill. It's a unionization bill. And, Jim, the reason why this bill is necessary for the unions is there's only one simple reason. They can't sell their product without some kind of government fiat assistance. Am I wrong about that?
I think to a significant extent you're correct about that. Now the secret ballot elections, once the unions get enough cards to hold the secret ballot elections, they do win a majority of these elections, but close to half of them they lose.
But Jim, let's look at the trend. 35-40 years ago there were 30 some plus people who of the workforce were unions. Today less than 8% is union, and there may be even less than 7 or 6. I'm not sure, but they can't sell their product anymore. And the 21st century is not the 21st century marketplace is not conducive. It's not. Unions are unnecessary in the 21st century marketplace in America.
We just released a paper by Professor Richard Epstein at University of Chicago, and he goes into the reasons for union decline, because there's this sort of myth that unions like to push that it's all management's unfair practices, mm-hmm. as if somehow management is doing something different today than they were doing 50, 60 years
ago. They are
doing
something different. They're being better to they're treating their employees better. That's the reason they can't sell their stuff, Jim.
Well, that's certainly part of it, and it's also that people can see what happens. The auto industry sort of highlights it, that over time the unions have placed their employers in such difficult positions that they've literally gone out of business or had to cut back and been uncompetitive.
You mean like General Motors and Chrysler and Ford? You mean like that?
Absolutely. And
Why do we want more of that, ladies and gentlemen? Why do we want to saddle small business owners with that? We're watching the American automobile industry, the legacy industry, literally collapse in front of us. Not completely because of unions, but in large part because of unions. Look, the irony is unbelievably thick here. Jim, that we're, they've got these problems with the automobile industry, and yet the administration and Congress is trying to get more of that.
It's bizarre, but it's even worse than we talked about so far, because the other provision of the Employee Free Choice Act that most people aren't even aware of.
This is the devil in the details.
It goes beyond the car check. There's a mandatory, compulsory arbitration provision which says that if they form the union and after 4 months you're not able to reach a contract agreement with the union, which always under labor law, you could form a union, but management doesn't have to cut a deal with them. Well, now, after 4 months, it goes before a panel of arbitrators. Now, we don't know who these arbitrators are. We don't know what the rules will be, the scope will be for the arbitration panel. They're just picked by the Department of Labor, which sets all the rules. And so what we're going to have are Obama administration Labor Department folks dictating mandatory two-year labor contracts.
Now, this is if they can't come to an agreement within 120 days, right?
It's 120 days, then there's a 30-day period. So it's 90 days, then a 30-day period. So,
but that's to come to some kind of a resolution between management and the business. And the unions, the new union. But if they can't come to a resolution, that's when the arbitrators kick in, right?
And of course, the union folks aren't stupid, so they're going to be sitting there and saying, "Well, we know." At the back end, we've got these Labor Department-appointed arbitrators that are going to come decide this case.
Right.
So the union folks are going to come up with – they're going to be very, very difficult in negotiations.
There's no motivation
saying,
for them
give us
to –
what we want,
yeah.
Or we're going to these arbitrators, and they're going to give us what we want. And this is very scary. I mean, for small businesses, there's no limits on what rules these arbitrators could come with. It could be – of course, it could be wages, hours, vacation, all these sorts of rules. But they could talk about merger decisions. They could talk about plant closing decisions, etc. And it's not even fair to workers in the small business context. Assume you're a small business with 20, 30, 40 employees,
mm-hmm.
but you're growing fast, and you think over the next 2 years you might have 200, 300 employees. Well, all these new employees that had no vote on the union decision are going to be bound for 2 years by the by this arbitration provision, and it could totally kill your growth prospects as a business.
And so now, let's say the law passes. Now overlay that over all these growing businesses that we're hoping will help us get ourselves out of this recession. The illogical part about trying to get the economy going again and oppressing the economy with this union bill is unbelievable to me. We're going to talk about this some more, folks. We're going to wrap up with Jim Copeland right after these messages. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Though you keep on saying you really, really, really love me, do you say the same words to someone else when I'm not there? They asked me how I knew my true love was true.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. James Copeland is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Copeland, if you're Googling him, he's a scholar with the Manhattan Institute, director of their Legal Policy Center there at Manhattan Institute. And give us your website. Tell us how we can find you guys.
Well, we've got a few websites. We can go to the main Manhattan Institute website, manhattan-institute.org. We also have a web magazine devoted to legal issues with an ongoing weblog. That's pointoflaw.com. And we've got a number of studies on the litigation industry at our triallawyersinc.com webpage.
And our buddy Walter Olson's got an overlawyer.com website too, doesn't he?
That's a more popularized version of some of the stories we've got on pointoflaw.com, but that's Walter's personal site, and it's actually the longest existing legal weblog, at least of any weblog that gets traffic.
Yeah, it's a good one. Jim, one of the folks, we're talking about the Employee Free Choice Act. That's not free choice at all. I love the way these politicians on both sides of the aisle, Jim. I got to be fair about this. How they come up with these titles for these acts that oftentimes are the opposite It's like you're living in bizarro world. You know, everything's opposite.
It is.
And so they come up with this Employee Free Choice Act. Exactly. So we've got this Employee Free Choice Act, folks, that's taking away the secret ballot from workers who want to vote for, who are voting for whether to create a union, whether to organize in a company. And it's in Congress right now. Now, Jim, you think that it's not going to pass this time at least, right?
Well, I wouldn't even necessarily go that far. It's not going to pass right away because Specter was the key Republican vote. He was the only Republican who had come out and said he was in favor of this bill, and he's changed his mind after all the ferocious lobbying and stuff. He's come to his senses, and so for now he's not going to support this bill. It doesn't mean he won't support a watered down version.
Is it going to pass the House, even though the House has a big majority of Democrats? I mean, there are a lot of blue dogs Democrats in the House.
Yeah, but I think the House is a given.
So it's going to pass the House. The Senate's got the Democrats have what, 57 seated Democrats and one that's on the fence with the Coleman Franken issue from Minnesota. So if they get Franken, they'll have 58. Is that right?
Well, it depends how you count it, and because you've also got Bernie Sanders, who's an independent.
No, I count him. He's a Democrat.
A Democrat, and then you've got Joe Lieberman, who's always been a Democrat, but he's less one today.
Right.
So it depends, but they're going to be basically one vote short if they get Al Franken in here. They'll have to turn one Republican not to pass the bill. They
If they get Franken with Saunders and with Lieberman, that they'll have 59. Is that what you're saying?
I believe that's correct.
I think you may be right. And then of course we got some wishy, what we call wobbly Republicans, typically Snow and Collins, both from Maine, and also Specter from Pennsylvania. So that's the concern that we have, folks. Is it has to pass the Senate too? They have to get the majority. Supermajority vote to avoid, to get closure, as you said a minute ago, to avoid the filibuster. And so, folks, that's what this means is if you agree with me, if you agree with Jim Copeland, if you're a business owner and you think, you know, you don't want your folks organizing without having a secret ballot, then you need to contact your member of Congress, especially your senator, and tell them how you feel.
It's vitally important, and it's particularly important to understand that this cloture vote is the vote. That it,
right.
You know, a Republican could be, if you could return one of these Republicans and say, listen, you know, vote against the bill. We just want you to vote with us to close debate, and you can go back to your home state and say, you know,
right.
I opposed the bill, but I thought, you know, we debated this enough, and it deserved a vote. Then effectively, that's voting for the bill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's very important for people to get that, because the whole purpose of the filibuster rules in the Senate are to block extreme ideas. And this is nothing but, and
exactly.
It's hard to capture how extreme this idea is, what a radical shift in labor law it is.
Folks, if you want to see how bad the unions can get, I mean, some of the crazy things that can happen, go look at what happened at the job bank with UAW in Michigan. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks for
keeping up
you,
the
Joe.
Good fight and for keeping people informed about this. It's a very important topic, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot.
Jim Copeland, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe. But that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.